All right, everybody, we are back. We are back in business, okay? It has been far too long, but we are back. This is Leonard R.R. Cox with Leonard's Flick Fix cooking. We were able to get this amazing angel investor, my Lisan Al-Ghaib. All right, Evan Timothy Cox, shout out to the man, the myth, the legend, funding this beautiful podcast. He has personally requested that I cover the entirety of Season 2, Squiddy of the Games. Squiddy of the Games. So that is exactly what I do for the man who pays for this subscription. And those who are willing to donate will also get a large shout-out, as does this man. So, in preparation of this, I want to do a quick summary of Season 1, Squid Games, okay? I want to make sure that everyone is reminded of this crazy cool series, okay? And I know not a lot of people have fallen into the hype, you know, and were like, I don't want to follow the norms of, you know, society watching this show, you know, people dying, whatever. Well, I do, okay? I do. So I'm going to do it, and I'm going to summarize it for you so that way you don't have to watch it. Okay, so welcome, everybody, to 2.0 Leonard's Flick Fix. Enjoy the show.
He summarizes movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime. Flick Fix.
All right, Season 1. And let me actually start from the very tippy top of my thought process. I am not going to say the names of these people. A, because they're referred to by numbers mostly throughout the series, and B, I don't want to pronounce things incorrectly, because I know I will, as the main character's name is Song Hee-yoon, and I'm sure I already pronounced that wrong. So I'm going to refer to him as our main character. I'm going to refer to other people as descriptions of their personality or their body, and I will maintain consistent throughout the show, so that way you remember who's who. Okay, so Season 1 starts out by following our main character. He has got black hair, he's fairly tall, fairly slim, and he clearly is down on his luck. He's a gambler of some type, he bets on horses, he loses, he's in debt. He's in a lot of debt by a lot of loan sharks. Loan sharks are like putting knives to his face, making him bleed, threatening him all crazy like, okay? So then all of a sudden when he's like, you know, pretty much going to steal from his mother. That's how bad down he is. Not to mention he also is estranged from his daughter and wife because of his, you know, crazy, horrible life that he's living. He gets approached by this man in a suit. And most of these games that I'll refer to, and this is all based out of South Korea, of course, and I should have mentioned that earlier, but he gets approached on the subway by this guy in the suit playing this strange game where you throw like, it's like it looks like a beanbag, but it's almost made of paper. And the attempt, and you have to attempt to essentially knock it and flip it over to win. And so this guy, he plays with him, he bets him money because he knows he can't resist. And he wins some money from the guy and he's like, okay, this is weird. And the guy hands him this business card with like a circle, triangle, and a square, which is the Squid Games logo thing. Very fun, very creative, very mystical. Anyways, so he's like, whoa. And then the guy's like, this subway guy is like, you need to call us because there's only like a few spots left. And if you want to earn more of this money, you need to get on top of this. So our main character, he's soon to be called 456, 456, player 456. He decides to call him and he gets a bust in, as well as a bunch of other players who were trapped in by this subway guy. And now they're all of a sudden drugged and teleported into this, like, gymnasium filled with beds. And there's just a bunch of people in green track suits. And the security guards are in yellow onesies, whatever. Okay, you know that part. Then we start playing red light, green light, okay? And it's like this weird adult doll that's like, red light, green light, whatever. And then every time someone moves, and instead of just losing the game, they get shot, okay? So there's just a bunch of people playing this game for a bunch of money, like this childhood game, but all of a sudden it becomes, like, a deadly experience. And then the people realize that there's more money that falls into the piggy bank as more people die. So, obviously, this businessman didn't explain that you would die if you missed the game. So our main character lives, and he also realizes that one of his friends is also in the games. One of his childhood friends is also in the games. But now everyone realizes that they're going to get murdered if they keep playing. So the people who run the game are like, you can vote. You can vote to leave if you want. We're not holding anyone hostage. You're welcome to vote to leave. So majority of the people say, we're leaving. We're not dumb. We're not going to die for this. This is stupid. So they let them out. They let them out and live, you know, freely. But we realize and we follow each one of these players in the real life that all of their lives suck because they're all in debt. They're all pretty much in shit conditions anyways. So believe it or not, we end up realizing that they all want to come back, which is crazy. So they all decide to come back into the game where they could win a lot of money to keep them out of debt, but they also could die. So it sounds like they're at that point where they would almost kill themselves, but instead of killing themselves, they would chance it for money. Anyways, then we follow this one character. I'm going to call him the detective, okay? His brother went missing, and he noticed that there was this Squid Game logo thing that was left at his brother's house. So he's like detective-ing where his brother went. So he sees that it's like this Squid Game thing. He follows our main character and sees that he gets abducted. And our detective then steals one of the pink suits and disguises himself as one of the like guards. The detective finds out that the guy who's like running the show, pretty much like the head honcho, who's in all this dark gray and like black and gray mask, the head honcho is actually his brother. And we learn that he was a past winner who has then gotten the job to be this guy on this secret island or whatever, because, you know, he was lost. Then the detective confronts his brother and is like, yo, you're the head honcho of this? What are you doing? And the guy shoots his brother. The brother shoots the detective, his brother, off of the cliff and seemingly dies. However, we find out in season two he is not dead, but we'll learn that in a second. Then we go through a bunch of more series of games where he's got to cut the, you know, a cookie so that way the cookie doesn't crumble by the shape, either triangle, umbrella, or circle. Our main character picked the umbrella, and it was like a crazy stressful thing, but he somehow got it out. Then there's just like this crazy, crazy war that happens when people realize that you can just kill people and the guards won't stop you, so they just end up killing each other, so that way there's more money in the piggy bank. And then we get down to the last two guys, which is our main character and his childhood friend. And we learn that his childhood friend has been like betraying and deceiving people because he'll do anything it takes to win this money. Clearly he's down bad, as is everybody. And of course we get to the dramatic finish. It's raining, it's pouring, and they're playing the game called Squid Games, which they used to play all the time as kids. And our main character ends up having to, you know, he's like, why don't we just not kill each other and we'll yield and we'll just leave this place. Let's just not kill each other. And the best friend of our main character ends up killing himself because he's like, screw it, I'm dead anyways. I'm just going to give you the money. So he kills himself and redeems himself. And now our main character then has the money. We learned that one of the old, like the super old guy, player 001 that we end up seeing in season one is the creator of the games because he lost faith in reality and he lost faith in society. So player one on his deathbed, he points out and realizes that the world may not be as bad as he thought. So then we get to the end of season one where our main character has got a phone in his hand. He's got the card to call for Squid Games. He's supposed to get on this plane to essentially, you know, get home and take all of his winnings. He won like a gajillion dollars. Like he won just a whole lot of money. And he was supposed to follow this one last rule where he gets on this plane and he leaves so that way he can get off or whatever. But he ends up not listening to the supervisor of whatever the Squid Games is. And he says, screw it, I'm not getting on the plane. You can't tell me what to do anymore. I'm not the horse that you think I am, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he ends up leaving. Okay, now you're caught up. And season two puts you in exactly the same spot that season one left you off on. In the aeropuerto. So he's on the phone with this guy, this Squid Games master, as he's walking out of the terminal instead of getting on the plane. The guy from the Squid Games is like, what do you think you're doing? You have nowhere to go. And then he's like, wait, how do you know where I'm here? How do you know I'm here? This is crazy. Super confused. So he's walking pretty fiercely. He's like, how about you stop running your mouth and show yourself? Stop hiding like a rat. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get on that plane. Blah, blah, blah. And then the guy in the Squid Game's like, you're going to regret that decision. You can hide all you want, the main character says, but I swear I'm going to find you. The main character says to the Squid Game guy, I'm going to find you. He's like got this determination or whatever. He gets in a taxi and he goes back to his mainland. So he gets to this gas station. He grabs a razor and he's like frantically feeling up his body. Like, we're like, why? He's like also butt ass naked in the gas station. And that comes to be apparent really quickly here in a second, just letting you know. He finds that there's a tracker in his ear, So we get this bloody, gruesome scene of him cutting all of his, like, ear goop out, and he's pulling this tracker out with some razor he bought from the gas station. He's like, whoa, they were tracking me in my ear. That's crazy. And then as there's blood dripping, it's kind of a funny scene, as there's blood dripping down his ear, and he's, like, butt-ass naked in this gas station, this little boy walks in and sees him, like, all bloody, naked. He's like, just come back in 5 minutes. It's a weird scene. Like, he's literally butt-ass naked. It's very funny. Anyways, then we kind of teleport into the world of the detective that I mentioned from last season, who got shot by his brother. Turns out he survived because he fell into the water. And soon we learn later that he was picked up by some captain, some guy or something, and was taken to safety. So now, instead of a detective, we see that he's just like some traffic cop doing some low-level work. He's woken up from his coma, and he's just doing good work, doesn't give a lot of care in the world other than the fact that he does take his traffic job seriously. But he's clearly no longer a detective, and his captain's like, what are you doing? So we keep getting flashes of this detective thinking like, all right, why is my brother on this mysterious island doing this mysterious thing? What's going on? Why did he ask me to join him? Like, what the heck? He's super confused. So he's thinking, the detective's thinking, well, maybe I should stop being a traffic cop and, like, face my fears. Although we also learn that he's been trying to tell people that there was this game that happened. There was a bunch of murders and stuff. But no one believes him. And fair enough. I mean, why would you say there's a bunch of childhood games, then you die? Anyways, we do a cut scene to our main character who looks kind of a little older and a little crazier. He looks kind of psychotic, to be completely honest. And we learn that he is in this motel all by himself. Like, it's a closed-off motel, and he's got cameras everywhere. Like, super high-security cameras. And then he, like, daydreams that he's met the Squid Games guy. And we learn, I mean, clearly that he's just got this crazy, disheveled mindset, and he's all messed up in the head from these games, which makes sense. I mean, you've watched 455 people die in front of you. It would get pretty crazy. So as he's tripping out, freaking out, someone shows up at his motel door and he lets him in. It's a guy who brings him like lunch and stuff, and he's talking business. And he's talking about how they're surveilling the subway system for this guy in the suit who's recruiting for the Squid Games. And our main character, he's like, we need to step it up. You need a surveillance 24/7 all the time at every single station, because they're coming around this year and they're almost done. This is about the time that 3 years ago, this is about the time where I, you know, did this. And then the like this mob boss guy who he's meeting with is like, well, for more men, I'm going to need a lot more money. And then our main character's like, bam, he just drops like a crazy amount of, money on the table. So now this guy is like, all right, for sure. So he goes in the van that we follow. Now we've the mobster guy that he just met with. He's meeting with his team members, and the mobster's like, hey, I don't believe this guy either. There's clearly not this island with a bunch of games, and there's clearly not this guy in the suit. We've been looking for like years, but he just paid us a shit ton of more money, and he's a good guy. He paid off his debts to me. You know, he's a good guy, so we should just do this. And so everyone's like, all right, fine. And then he's like, if you find the guy, we'll give you like 50 billion won or like some crazy number. And so now we've got a search party going. So our main character's got like the mob essentially of South Korea, just looking on the subway stations every day, every night, checking in like extremely well on this group chat for this subway guy. Then we go back to the detective storyline where he's hanging out with the captain, we call him the captain. And this is the captain who ended up picking him up from when he had died. Well, didn't die, but he was shot by his brother at this mysterious island who had just, you know, he saved his life essentially. So we learn that they're exploring all the islands all over where they are to go locate this island, because obviously the detective is like, I got to find this island again. I got to figure out what the hell happened. Then we cut back to the mobster and all of his, you know, clowns. I mean, mobster's a stretch. He seems like a nice guy. And he's got like a bunch of people searching for this subway guy who's playing this weird beanbag flip game. He's like got this business card. He's telling everybody. And if you see him on the subway station, you call us immediately. This is extremely important. Whoever finds him gets a gajillion dollars, blah, 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 blah. So they're all excited, like, whoa, I'm going to find him, you know, woohoo. So then we got like this flash of all these mobster guys like showing all these people in the subway. Have you seen this gentleman in the suit? Have you seen this game being played in the subway? Blah, 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 blah. And it looks like they're just pulling up empty all the time. And then we like cut to the detective. The detective and the captain are checking off all these islands and they're not seeing anything. And we're just having a montage now of the detective and our main character, both in separate storylines, trying to find the island and trying to find the businessman of the Squid Games, just pulling up completely empty. And it's just like, this is just not working. It's not working. It's pulling up. Yeah, it's just bad. And the detective and the captain run through a storm and they're like, you know what? The detective says to the captain, screw it. I'm done looking. You're right. This is stupid. This is pointless. We're going to get ourselves killed. This is dumb. And then we get to the mobsters and their search on the subway. And the mobster main guy and his second hand in command, who are like really friends, they're like, we've been looking for 2 years, 2 whole years now, and we haven't seen this guy. No one's heard of him. And I've been working super hard. Why are we doing this? This is stupid. And the mobster main guy is like, we're getting so much money. How are you complaining? You're in the AC in the subway in the summer? What the hell? And as they're like giving up, of course, all of a sudden across the subway station, they see the businessman. They see the businessman playing the game and he hands out the Squid Games card to some random dude. So they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. They've been looking for him for 2 years. They finally found him. So they call our main guy, our main character, they're like, we found him. And they're like, he's playing it right now. We have eyes on him. And so our main character's like, I'm coming, I'm ripping. So he's like Tokyo drifting through the city as they're like, kind of secretly following this guy in the suit. Then we cut to a new storyline as things were getting really excited. We cut to a new storyline of this girl who's seemingly pregnant, but ends up trying to like hide it, or she was going to get an abortion or something. Something was off. Didn't seem right. Then we cut to back, and now we cut to the suit guy, the subway suit guy, and his storyline, the Squid Game guys, he goes to this gas station and buys 100 lottery tickets and buys 100 buns, like bread. He goes into like a super poor part of this park, and he goes up to every homeless person he sees. And he holds out his hand. He holds a lotto ticket or bread. And of course, most of the homeless, almost all of them, pick the lotto ticket instead of the bread. And he then moves on. He says, oh, sorry, out of luck. And then the homeless person's like, well, can I have the bread? And he's like, no. So then he moves on to the next homeless person. And as that's happening, we have our mobster and his friend spying on the guy and just like following as directed by our main character. And it's another montage of him handing out either bread or our lotto ticket. So then he, after handing it out to all the homeless, and the homeless are like at this point circling him because they're super confused, he steps on a podium and he shouts to all the homeless, and he dumps out all of the bread in front of them that they didn't accept, and he just starts stomping on it. He just stomping and crushing it. And they're like, what are you doing? This is good food. Stop it. And then he yells at them. He's like, I'm not the one who wasted this food. That was you people. You picked the lotto ticket and you did not pick the bread. You do not get the bread. So he just stomps it to a pulp, whatever. Like almost very psychotically, almost, I should add. Like pretty damn psychotically. Then our main character, we flash to him racing through town trying to get to our mobster guy and their friend following the suit guy. He gets pulled over by a cop, believe it or not. Of course, it's the detective, who's just like a traffic cop. He recognizes him from season one. In season one, the detective looked at our main character, and again, this is in season one, and asked him about, you know, the Squid Games and what's going on and, you know, all that. And they kind of chatted in season one, but it wasn't a very big plot line. Anyways, our mobster and our mobster's friend are following tightly in a car now, trying to follow the suit guy. And the detective is like, who was that guy? He looks so familiar. So there's something there. Then the mobster and his friend are following the suit guy through like this dark alley, really kind of creepy alley. And because our main character can't answer the phone right now and he said he can't be there, they're like, we don't want to lose him. We're going to go get him. We're going to go kill him. So the mobster and we're not going to kill him, but we're going to capture him. The mobster and his best friend go and try to capture the guy in the suit. They pull a knife on him and the guy in the suit just kind of like easily fights them off with his briefcase and like beats him to a freaking pulp, like to a pulp. Then we cut to the detective. We learn quickly that the detective recognizes our main character from season one. And this is the guy who seemed like, obviously, he was in a panic. And so that's why the detective raised question. And so he's jot down the name and what the motel that he had purchased, the motel that our main character lives in as of right now. All of a sudden, our mob boss and his friend go silent because they got beat up in an alley. So our main character's like, where the hell did he go? We put a tracker, blah, blah, blah. So he's following them on a tracker, and he sees a bunch of blood in a dark alley. Our main character sees blood in a dark alley. He pulls out his gun, and he sees that something shitty happened, and there's blood. And then we notice that the guy in the suit was surveilling our main character from a street view, and we notice that he saw him, but our main character didn't see the guy in the suit. Now we cut to a crazy, dark, like really messed up scene where the mobster and the mobster's best friend are bound by the mouth, strapped to chairs viciously, and they're bleeding like pretty aggressively. And we see that our guy in the suit is torturing them, and he's like super psychotic. He's listening to music, and then of course he says, let's play a little game. Let's play rock, paper, scissors. And then, boom, we get like the little vibes of Squid Games right there. So he's like, all right, come on, let's play Squid Games. And you know what? Let's make it more fun. Let's play Russian roulette as well. Do you know what Russian roulette is? So he puts a bullet in a revolver, spins the chamber, and of course he's got one bullet. So he says the odds that you'll die are 1 to 6. Survival odds are 5 out of 6. That's pretty good. And he puts the gun to his own head and pulls the trigger. And nothing happens. So he says, your chances are pretty good, right? I mean, that's pretty solid. And then the mobster and the mobster's friend are like shaking viciously. So they're like, all right, here we go. Let's play rock, paper, scissors. So he goes, rock, paper, scissors. And the mobster, not the mobster's friend, shoots. But the mobster's friend doesn't move. He doesn't play. So the guy in the suit says, disqualified, pulls the gun right to his head, pulls the trigger. He like pisses himself, but no bullet. So he says, all right, let's play again, gentlemen. So he goes, ready? Rock, paper, scissors. And boom, boom, boom. And they actually both play this time. But the main mobster, again, these guys are like best friends. The main mobster loses in the game of rock, paper, scissors. Gun pulls up to his head. Nothing. Nothing. And it's like a little montage of like not a lot. Because he spins the revolver every time. So it's 5-6 every time. So he says, I'm bored. Let's change the odds. I want to put 5 bullets in a 6-loaded chamber. The odds of you surviving are less likely. So we play rock, paper, scissors. So then they just do like, they tie. And of course, down to the last second, we have our mobster who threw 2 scissors and our mobster's friend who threw two rocks. But the mobster was nice enough to disqualify himself, and he took his fingers away and disqualified himself because he knew that he was going to win, and he didn't want to see his friend die. So the mobster takes his hands away, and he becomes disqualified and gets shot right in the dome. His brain explodes right in front of his best friend. We're talking like great scene. Blood, drool, snot, everything. Great scene. Super psychotic. Really crazy. So then the guy in the suit wants to talk to the mobster's friend. Let's just refer to this guy as the mobster's friend from here on out, because he remains a main character in this. Now we cut to the detective. The detective goes to the motel that our main character lives at. He notices that it's locked, so he does some crazy parkour shit like freaking Batman. He jumps through a window and notices some files, and he's kind of snooping around. He sees the Squid Games logo. He sees that the map of the subway. He sees that he's hired some people to do a bunch of stuff. So he definitely knows he's on the right track to find some more Squid Games stuff, related issues and all that jazz. So then we cut to the motel again, and we realize that the guy in the suit from the subway from Squid Games is in the motel main room of our main character. So our main character's been looking for the guy in the suit, and now the guy in the suit knows where this guy lives. So now they're talking super casually, almost like, "You've been looking for me." And he's like, "Yes, I have. I wanted to invite you and thank you guys for letting me win all that much, you know, blah, blah, blah." He's kind of like playing it off. Long story short, they're talking. They both know. They're not really bullshitting each other. They both know why they're both there. And we kind of get to this really intense moment where he says, "Let's play a game. Have you ever played Russian roulette?" And then our main character's like, "No, I haven't." But he's not freaking out. And so our main character's got the gun pulled right on him, right into his, I mean, the suit guy's got a gun pulled right to our main character's head. He says, "Let's play Russian roulette. But this time, I'm not going to spin it every single time, okay? So we're going to pull some triggers here. Do you want to play?" And then we learn that our main character's low-key kind of crazy too. He's like, "Let's play." He's like, he's in it. He's like, "Screw it. Let's get it." He's talking smack, and our weird suit guy plays some music. And they start playing because they're talking about a bunch of stuff about the games and how our main character just wants to essentially kill the guy. So our main character's up. He's got one of fifth chance. He pulls the trigger. Boom, nothing. Then our subway guy is up, pulls the trigger. Boom, nothing. And then our main character guy is up. Boom, nothing. He's pulling the trigger like a freaking boss, like he knows it's going to happen. So we got three bullets left. Our main guy, he puts the trigger in his mouth. He puts the trigger in his mouth, pulls the trigger. Nothing. Click. So he's got a 50-50 chance now. Our main character's got a 50-50 chance. He's like, "Do you feel your mind racing? Is this going crazy? Are you going to prove to me that you'll kill others to win money? Blah, 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 blah. Your probability is blah, 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 blah." So our crazy guy, our main character, he puts the gun to his head like a freaking boss. They're like nose to nose at this point. And he pulls the trigger. And he's not dead. It's amazing. So now we know for a fact that there's one bullet left in the chamber. And of course, our main suit guy points the gun directly back at our main character. And then our main character talks him. He's like, "If you kill me right now, it just proves to me that you're just a mutt from the Squid Games people. You know, you're just a mutt. You're just some pointless dog. Bark, bark, sit, stay, bark." You know, he's like talking him up, essentially convincing him that he's just some nobody who just kills for other people, like a low-class piece of shit. And that's kind of what most of their talking was about, is pretty much who's who and like who really are you at the end of the day. So the end credit, right before the credits roll, we see the guy in the suit who essentially, you know, plays the games and gets people in contact with everybody else, pulls the trigger on himself and kills himself right in front of our main character. And that, folks, is the end of Episode 1, Squid Games Season 2. It was a gripper. I definitely was on the edge of my seat. I loved it, and I'm ready to move on to Squid Games Episode 2, Season 2. Stay tuned, everybody. Enjoy.